were so much colder then. My father was a soldier then, and times were very hard when I was young.
He's still pretty young, don't
oh,
you
yes.
think?
Oh, yes.
Eric Burden, you're shaking your head.
I mean, well, no, sometimes I feel young and sometimes not so young. You can't deny the physical aspect of aging.
It's, sure.
The back aches. You know, the one thing, and I'm not that old yet, but I'm, you know, pushing on the other side of 50. Don't you groan more than you used to?
Oh, yeah.
Like, ah. Oh.
Your body learns to groan. And it teaches you to groan.
Eric Burden, of course, the legendary rock star. You know him from The Animals, from War, from his solo career. And Wendy, I don't know if you got to see, but Eric acted out the first few parts of that song. You were flying, and then you were shooting at something in the sky. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, well, war is fun when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Amongst the ruined buildings,
yeah,
they become the best playground you ever could hope for.
Yep.
And you get to, you're able to distinguish any noise of any flying craft,
mm-hmm.
which came to an end when they invented the jet.
Right. Well, I guess it did. Yeah, didn't it?
Jets basically sound the same.
Yeah.
You know, every time we talk about the Vietnam War, when it comes up for something, always your music is involved with that. Always. We were reading, like, the soundtrack of what would be from all the veterans and the animals. Just Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, House of the Rising Sun, all of that. It speaks to a generation of Vietnam vets, and it speaks to us, and it speaks to my 16-year-old son.
I got a very nice note the other day, typed on official paper from a colonel, a retired U.S. Marine Corps. And he started off by saying something really nice, kind of poetic. He said, I know that over the years we probably stood on opposite sides of the table, but music bridges everything. And, you know, and you help. He helped us get through the worst years of our lives. And I thought I've heard a lot of stuff like that. But that, it's recent in my mind because it was just the other day in Washington, D.C. So he didn't leave an address. I probably would have got back to him.
No.
I probably would have enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah. Did you think for a minute your music was cutting through like that? At the time?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I mean, our first visit to America, we were told when we were boarding the plane to come to America. And it was mentioned to us by members of the Beatles before we ever got here. Like, when you get to America, man, remember, don't mention the war. And it became like a standard joke, you know, like, hey, don't mention the war. You know, this burger's not done too right. Don't mention the war. You know, but let's face it, man, it was one of the ugliest conflicts. It seemed to go on forever, and nothing seemed to deter them. And there's a lot of music and a lot of poetry came out of it, but the thing that comes out of it for me is the amount of guys that are sitting at home, you know, smoking a lot of pot, trying to get over the fact that they've been dosed by Agent Orange. You know, I have a friend of mine who was an ex-vet, and somebody came up and said, oh, you Americans, we hate you guys. You bombed our country. He said, man, my country bombed me as well.
Yeah, and no support for the Vietnam vets, and hopefully that's going to be turned around someday. Yeah. I don't know when.
So, Eric, would you agree that music became the voice of rebellion, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it still can be, but, you know, I mean, there's not the same. But it's, you know, time changes everything, and when something's new to us, a nuance, it speaks louder than it would in historical terms.
Stevie Van Zandt had something really wonderful to say. I found this, of course, you can go to ericburden.com and find out all the information about City Winery tonight. You can also go to citywinery.com. But Stevie Van Zandt says he invented the genre of the white guy singing low. And then Steven Tyler, who doesn't sing very low at all, mentioned when you did The House of the Rising Sun, you had to start so low so you could move up on the octave. It is such a beautiful song.
Well, that's right. I mean, with anything, if you start, how low can you go?
Yeah.
Lead you to how high you can reach. You know, it's the same in any aspect of growth. You know, if you begin at a low end, the highs can come.
Like the Star Spangled Banner. If you don't start low enough, you're never going to hit that one spot.
Yeah, right. Of course, you know, it's true of a lot of things.
Spill the Wine with War, funked it up a little. Was that fun?
Yeah, Spill the Wine gets me into a lot of trouble. Because I try and explain what the song means, and nobody gets it. And just recently, Bruce Springsteen was on the phone saying, "Hey, man, I'm using Spill the Wine to open my show. What are the lyrics?" I don't know. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying this. Well, it doesn't mean that. It means this, you know. So it's endless.
I know you've worked with a who's who from the world of rock and roll, but when Bruce Springsteen calls you, is there a moment of wow, or is it just another day for you?
For me it was amazing because some time later, Bruce had asked me to be participate in a recording session, and he would be the producer.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I just said no. And I don't know why I said no, because I like the guy.
Sure.
It's the rebel in you, man.
You know, but sometimes your gut just says, no, not at the moment. You know?
But he must have been surprised, because I'm guessing not a lot of people say no to him at this point.
Exactly. So when he, you know, doubled down on who I am and what I do at the big festival down in Texas.
Southwest?
South by Southwest. It was the linchpin of the whole opening debate. And he was talking about the animals for about half an hour. Listen up, kids, if you want to hide, do this, do that, you know, and, you know, copy the best, you know, copy who you want. Copy the best, and this is what I played. All of my teenage years was, dun, 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 dun. And he started playing. We got to get out of this place, and all that. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised, and it was a weight off. That's why I'm called Eric Burden. I carry a lot of weight around with me, and that was a big weight lifted off my shoulder to think that this guy, who's the current rock star around the world, had the dignity and the honesty to and forgiveness, you know.
But he admires you, and that's the best, to know somebody at the top of their game is doing it because they saw you do it, and they said, I want to do like that guy's doing.
Yeah. I think he's like the strongest thing to come along in many years. I mean, audiences come away from his gigs absolutely drenched and tired.
Yeah. Like 3.5 hours
long. Yeah. I mean, he's got so much energy. It's unbelievable.
And he just was in Chicago doing the River album, and I saw him on the River tour a million years ago, and really, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
You can't even believe it.
Yeah. And, you know, the guy is really a poet. You know? I mean, he really speaks the voice of the American experience to outsiders in a lot of ways, that people claim Dylan does and whatever, a lot of other artists. But, you know, he says a lot. I mean, some of his lines about Vietnam, you know, I got a friend went to fight the communists. I can't remember the exact lyrics, but he went to fight the commies. They're still there, and
got
he's
a friend
off
in Baltimore,
dead.
Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Fought a war and he never came back. A Hungry Heart, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right, so Bill had mentioned, you know, the Springsteen connection and how Springsteen was honest enough to admit that he'd idolized your music and you, Who did you look up to? Who got you into the whole rock and roll business?
Chicago.
Really?
Chicago. Yeah. Chicago Blues.
Yeah. Oh, the Chicago Blues, not Chicago 25 or 64.
No, because they came after you.
It's still here.
But the blues scene meant a lot to you. You
can tell by the early...
It was a religion.
Yeah.
I remember taking a knife and cutting my arm and writing blues in blood.
Wow.
That's serious.
You're committed.
On blues people.
Wow.
And Nina Simone looked at it and she went, "May I borrow this to read?" And I said, "Yeah, okay, if you return it." You know, and she said, "No problem." And like 3 years later, she gave it back to me.
She did. She returned it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We got to take a quick break. Come back. We'll wrap up with Eric Burden. He is a legend. He is a rock god. He is at City Winery tonight at 8 p.m. You can go to ericburden.com, check out his website, or if you want ticket info, citywinery.com. Back with Eric Burden, 720 WGN. That's that blues influence.
That's just beautiful.
Oh. So what blues guys did you hang with that you liked the most?
Muddy Waters, Johnny Hooker, Chuck Berry, who I had to say to him in a conversation one day, "Chuck, you are a blues man." And, "No, I'm not, man. I write songs for white school kids, you know, and you write songs for everybody, and I think that you're actually the poet laureate of America." And he was like, "Oh," he took me to lunch, you know. And he had a real bad reputation with people, but yeah. I found him to be very...
Really? Because My Ding-a-ling, that song, wouldn't have made me think that at all.
Not by that song. Eric Burden is our guest. Eric, if you could go back to any day in your life, revisit any day for whatever reason, what day would you go back to?
Usually I say, to get around it, I say tonight.
Yeah?
City Winery.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because there's so much memorable moments.
Oh, yeah.
And they just keep coming, you know. But tonight is a little special tonight because tonight's the last night with my keyboard player, who is a very important entity in my music. And it's his last night tonight. He's retiring.
Oh.
How do you retire in rock and roll? Come on.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, the love is there. You just keep doing it. It's fun, isn't it?
I mean, I don't think there's... You know, the retirement concept, it should end, because as long as people can contribute, why should they even think about hanging it up? And, you know, and you get old really quick thinking about retirement or becoming a...
Got to keep doing it.
Yep.
Keep doing it. Keep rocking and rolling. We have a listener who wants to say something to you, by the way. And this is Mark. Mark, you've got Eric Burden right here listening to you.
Got the first album from 1966. You got the pale suits, the blue shirts, and the black tie. And the best one, I had the first Stones, never bought a Beatles. Blue, blue feelings, send you back to Walker, the best stuff ever. And I'm going to try to get my ass down there tonight. I've never seen you live, but I still listen to the stuff at least once a week, and it puts me in a great mood.
Hey. Take it easy. Cool down. You're with me now. Thanks. You're very complimentary.
Thanks for calling, Mark.
Eric, is there a version of you today? Do you see any young performer and you say to yourself, that's like the new version of me? Is there anybody working today that reminds you of you?
Well, Taylor Swift.
Really?
You're
no
just
way.
Saying it. You're saying that to
true?
Piss Kanye West off. That's why you're saying
she's
it.
She's a great musician. Great singer.
She is.
She's very sweet to look on.
Yeah.
And you can't not like her at first. And I know a lot of people that were older men would be like, boy, she's cute. And then they'd say, I feel funny saying that. But she's good. She's good and listenable and catchy tunes.
Mm-hmm. She's sweet, but she kicks ass.
Mm-hmm. So Taylor Swift is the new Eric Burden.
You're dreaming.
All right. So you mentioned, you know, that you were influenced by the blues and that Springsteen has fessed up to saying how much he's loved your work and you inspired him. I have a 16-year-old son, Michael, who you inspired him. And Michael, you have one question for Eric Burden. Don't embarrass me.
I will try my best, mother. I was thinking about this, and there was a big change in your sound from 1965 to 1967, 68. You went from doing amped up covers of Jimmy Reed tunes to like sprawling epics such as, you know, Sky Pilot. What in turn, you know, kind of influenced that musical change? I know that you were spending a lot of time in San Francisco at the time.
Oh.
And I have a pretty big feeling that that had something. But what else?
Well, yeah, I left the Animals, the original Animals, because all we did was make covers of what we were doing on the road. You know, so we could go into a studio and knock out an album in a week. And people are still today buying that stuff, you know. But then San Francisco was a whole new thing. It was the American thing coming alive, and away from the Beatles and the Stones. Suddenly, there was San Francisco, the San Francisco scene. And I've spent my life heading to places where the action is,
mm-hmm.
whether it's traveling around Mexico for a year by myself, living 3 years in Germany, 3 years in Spain. I did that because I said to myself one day, this is not all there is in life. And I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life. And I want to meet new people. I want to go to the source of, like, I wanted to go to the source of the Beatles story. So I went to Hamburg. And I sort of searched out guys that were still there and still had the memories of what it was like to work in those early nightclubs in Hamburg. That's what started the British thing, really, on a big commercial level. So I had to find out what it was like and, you know, yeah, and stuff like that. And I still continue to do that to this day.
And City Winery, what are we going to expect tonight?
Well, I always have to do the old, you know,
the classics.
Yeah,
popular
sure.
Stuff,
we're know. Expecting them.
Yeah, but
people are vultures.
They are.
But if you love blues and jazz the way I did when I was a kid, they can't stay the same and be truthful. You can't be truthful to the original thing if you keep it the same all
right.
the time.
Right.
You gotta spread your wings.
And you'll mix
improvise.
In a, yeah. You'll mix in a couple of Taylor Swift songs.
Oh, yeah.
You should.
Sure.
Yeah.
People want to hear that.
All right. Sophie has to get this in, and we are running late. Sophie, go. Eric Burden, really quick here.
I just wanted you to know that I saw you when I was 13 years old, and that was 50 years ago, and you were my very first rock and roll concert, and I'll never forget it.
Thank you. You didn't scream, did you?
I think everybody screamed.
Sophie was the one screaming.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sophie. Okay, go back to bed.
You're welcome.
All right, try and go to City Winery tonight because the second of two shows, two nights, City Winery. Go to citywinery.com, ericburden.com. It was an honor. It was a pleasure to meet you. You should be higher than 57 in Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Singers of All Time, in my opinion.
Yep,
I thought I was. But thank you. Thank you
so
and
much,
Michael,
Eric.
Decent question. Thanks for not embarrassing me.
Yeah.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Thanks, Eric.
Well.
An honor to meet you, sir. A quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.